Welcome back to Sound Medicine. I'm Barbara Lewis. The term schizophrenia strikes real fear in a lot of people, and for good reason. The symptoms can include hearing voices or lack of affect or energy, and this form of mental illness has been blamed as the root cause for a number of crimes over the past years, including the horrifying mass murders in Connecticut and Colorado. But our next guest is a psychiatrist and expert on schizophrenia who believes some people with the diagnosis can regain their function and productivity. Dr. Stephen Marder is at the Semmel Institute for Neuroscience at UCLA. And we began by addressing one of the most common perceptions, that there's little hope of recovery from schizophrenia.
You know, the impression that people get about people with schizophrenia too often comes from people who are doing very badly. People that they see who are homeless in the streets, pictures in the media from people who have done awful things. Actually, there are many more people with schizophrenia who are actually working or going to school than there are on the street living very difficult lives. It's more common for people with schizophrenia to have a burden from their illness, but to be, you know, trying to make the most of their lives.
In the past few years, a few people who are managing their schizophrenia have done very well. They've gotten media attention. I'm thinking about the TED Talk I watched, a law professor who won a MacArthur Genius Grant. How often do people with schizophrenia really manage to thrive socially and professionally?
Well, it's hard to know how many people thrive. The person you're referring to is Ellen Sachs, who's lived an extraordinary life despite having to deal on an almost constant basis with symptoms of schizophrenia. So it's hard to know how many people there are. We did a study in Los Angeles along with Dr. Sachs where we identified people who were relatively high-functioning. Physicians, attorneys, psychologists, other people, and we actually brought them in and interviewed them and tried to find out how they manage their lives despite having these illnesses. So we really don't know how many there are, but they're definitely out there.
So put us in the shoes of someone with schizophrenia who's in the grips of the symptoms. I mean, what can daily life be like for them?
Well, many of them talked about having symptoms like hallucinations, commonly hearing voices, finding it hard to be in overstimulating environments. They found sometimes they would develop suspicious ideas about people around them. What we found is that those people had learned during the course of their lives how to monitor themselves when they began having these distortions and how to kind of manage them so that they could continue in their lives. For example, some of them found that in their working life that sometimes they would need a quiet place when things became overly stimulating. Dr. Sachs, in a wonderful book that she wrote called The Center Cannot Hold, talked about how she would, you know, deal on a frequent basis with some of these symptoms and still manage to continue on in her work. So I think that people develop their own solutions to these problems, particularly those people who are successful.
Yeah, and there was another TED Talk with a younger woman, a doctoral student, who was talking about how what she was hearing the voices say really gave her an indication of how she was feeling. Instead of being afraid, you know, she kind of took the cues from this voice.
Right, right. And I think what this person learned is that when an individual hallucinates, which is a surprisingly common experience to people, that what they're actually doing is they're interpreting their own thoughts as a sound. So, I mean, the voices don't come from anywhere except the person's own mind. And I think that these people have learned to accept that, and they actually gather information. There was a humorous line, and I think it may be in the same TED Talk you're referring to, where she was taking some kind of an examination, a written examination, and the voices were actually telling her some of the answers, and she wondered whether that was cheating, that her own voices were telling her the answers. So In other words, the voices aren't really alien experiences. They may seem alien, but they're actually the person's own thoughts. And, you know, perhaps they can be helpful in people learning what they're not consciously aware of.
Well, you believe that recovery from this disease is possible, but I was wondering how you define recovery.
You know, I think recovery is the individual's ability to live the kind of life that they want to, despite having the burden of an illness. And one could look at a parallel in other illnesses. For example, people with rheumatoid arthritis, you know, they'll still have the burden of their joints being limited, but they develop methods to kind of work around it and to meet their own personal goals. So I think it's recovery to me, and I think to many people in the recovery movement, doesn't mean that the person has to no longer have the burden of their illness, but that they're learning to meet their own personal goals despite having an illness.
You mentioned recovery movement. How well is this idea of recovery from schizophrenia accepted in the mental health field?
I think it's becoming increasingly accepted. I mean, a number of years ago, it must be more than 10 years ago, under President Bush, the President's New Freedom Commission actually accepted many of the principles of recovery. And I think if you go to many of the more advanced places that treat people with serious mental illnesses, that they are aware of some of the principles of recovery, about the person setting their own goals, about and the person being involved in decisions about their treatment. Those principles, I think, are really percolating much more through treatment in many settings.
Mm-hmm. So walk us through the components that are crucial to help people with schizophrenia recover.
The one thing that I think people need is they need almost everyone who we spoke to who did well found supports within their lives, oftentimes family members, frequently friends, people who they could confide in about their experiences and be able to sort of stay in touch with reality. The other thing is that psychosocial treatments for schizophrenia really do work. I mean, you know, the evidence base is very strong for treatments like cognitive behavior therapy for psychosis, which can help people deal with active psychotic symptoms, or supported employment and education, which can provide support for people with schizophrenia while they're actively engaged in work or in school. These programs are extremely effective. On the other hand, they're frequently not available. So whereas almost everyone with the illness has access to medications, which, you know, for many patients are an essential ingredient in order for them to reach their goals, many are just unable to access these other kinds of psychosocial treatments.
Schizophrenia is usually diagnosed in the early 20s after this first psychotic break. That has to be just tremendously scary for the parents. Any advice on first steps for them to take to put them, you know, to put their loved one, to put their child on the path toward recovery?
Well, there are a couple of things. One is that it appears that the sooner someone gets treatment, the better they do. There are studies which suggest that the longer the duration between the time that the person has a first psychotic experiences and the time that they're treated, the length of that time is associated with a worse outcome. So, having people aware of the illness and getting to effective treatment early on is probably one of the most important principles. The other thing is people should stay on the path of their lives. I think too often the stigma of the illness, the sort of images that I talked about earlier about people who do horribly, led people to be fearful of a bad outcome. I think understanding that the person should continue on their current path, people getting the person back to school or back on the job as quickly as possible is important. One of the sad things in the field is that the stigma often comes from providers. That is, people should be treating the patient have this belief that once you develop schizophrenia, it's unlikely that you will return to work or school, and that you need to be protected. And in fact, many of the people who we spoke to who did well did it despite the providers who tried to be overly protective, which is interesting.
So if you start out early, like you said, you know, like many physical or mental illnesses, you tend to have a better outcome. But when we're talking about recovery, you know, can people who maybe didn't get quite that terrific help early on still recover?
Oh, I think so. I mean, if you know, just talking about Dr. Sachs and her book, she obviously did very well despite not getting these specific treatments. It's interesting that she actually got intensive psychoanalysis when she was had a breakdown when she was in England. But I think for other people, you know, the support and encouragement of family and friends is just an essential ingredient, and the role of the family is really underestimated.
Mm-hmm. And underutilized? I guess it would just depend on the family, but they would need to be as supported as well as the patient.
Right. And in fact, educating families about schizophrenia and its treatments is one of the most effective methods for improving outcomes. It's been shown in countless studies that educating families leads to, you know, better long-term outcomes. Staying on medications can be very important. People at the onset of schizophrenia are the group that probably have the greatest vulnerability to suicide attempts and successful suicide. So making sure that they stay on medications and in treatment and are constantly monitored is very important. And to stay on the path, you know, if that person's path is to school or, you know, some kind of professional school or some kind of vocational or other kinds of goals, to sort of encourage them to stay on that path.
Dr. Stephen Martyr, it's been wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Stephen Martyr is a psychiatrist at the UCLA Semmel Institute for Neuroscience and Human Behavior.